I'm Lou Gum. This is Arizona Edition on KAWC. The United States Bureau of Reclamation says the Colorado River and its tributaries provide water to nearly 40 million people for municipal use in hundreds of communities, supplies water to irrigate nearly 5.5 million acres of land, and is the lifeblood for at least 22 federally recognized Native American tribes, 7 national wildlife refuge areas, 4 national recreation areas, and 11 national parks. Among those 40 million people is activist Gary Walkner. Walkner is the executive director and co-founder of Save the Colorado, a Fort Collins organization that began in 2010. There are numerous groups in the river's basin states attempting to bring attention to threats to the Colorado River. I'm pleased to get the perspective from upstream today on Arizona Edition.
Thanks again for your time. I'm really happy to talk to you. If you could give us a little sense, though, because we're obviously pretty far downriver from Fort Collins, Colorado. Can you tell us a little bit how the river plays a part in the life of Fort Collins?
Sure. Fort Collins gets about half of its water from the Colorado River. It's diverted through the continent out of the Colorado River directly and piped over the Continental Divide. So, you know, all the businesses and all the people in Fort Collins are receive Colorado River water just like people do in Arizona, depending on where you're at.
I know I've looked at a map of Fort Collins and the region this morning, and I guess I didn't realize how much water is actually around you. You have quite a few little lakes around Fort Collins.
Yeah, those are all reservoirs. None of those are actually lakes. They're all reservoirs. So, and the biggest ones are Colorado River water. So they pump it underneath the Continental Divide, pipe it through massive tunnels, and it comes down along the Front Range, northern Front Range there by Fort Collins. They put it in massive lakes, and then they send it out to cities and farmers for the most part.
So back in 2010, co-founded Save the Colorado, this group. What was your motivation back then for starting a group like this?
Well, we were very busy protecting the Cache Laputa River, which is right in Fort Collins. And we decided to expand our work around the Southwest U.S. and start supporting efforts to protect and restore the Colorado River. It's really that easy of a story to tell.
You could have stayed focused, though, just sort of regionally and on projects nearby. What was the motivation to kind of go source to sea on the Colorado River?
Yeah, well, there was a number of proposed dam and diversion projects, including in right there in northern Colorado, and that were going to take more water out of the Colorado River. You know, the whole state of Colorado is plumbed together, basically. And including in Boulder County, which is the county south of Larimer County, which is Fort Collins is. And so we just decided to expand and start focusing on other river systems. And, you know, in addition, I mean, the work that we do is primarily fighting against proposed new dams and diversions. And it was a niche that a lot of other groups aren't filling. And so there was a need, so we stepped in to fill it.
Since you mentioned that, there only recently seems to be more pushback on individual projects on the river. Big press conference on the Hoover Dam last week. Why do you think that there hasn't been more pushback on these individual projects?
Well, the vast majority of environmental groups in the Colorado Basin are funded by the Walton Family Foundation, which are the Walmart heirs. And the Walmart heirs and the Walton family and their foundation pays environmental groups to actually support new dams and diversions. And so when I said there was a niche open to fight new dams and diversions, it's because there's just a massive amount of money. They give like $20 to $25 million a year to all these big groups that you've probably heard of. But there's a niche to actually fight the projects. And so, for example, the coalition you saw down there at Hoover Dam, those are groups that don't get Walton money. The groups that I work with don't get Walton money. And so there's kind of a cleave, you might say, in the environmental community, where the folks who take Walton money don't fight dams or sometimes even support them. And the groups I work with, and my group in particular, fights proposed new dams and diversions.
What's your view of the broad policies regarding the Colorado River and how they are so slow to change?
Well, the Colorado River, in our opinion, is being severely mismanaged. You know, the reservoirs are cratering. The whole system is collapsing right now. And, you know, the reason why that happens is that the reason why that has happened is because prior to the drought of the last 20 years and even during it, they continued to drain the river 100%. Drain it bone dry. All the managers in the state are in the United States, as well as the folks there in Mexico. They just drain the river bone stinking dry. And so when a drought comes along, it's just going to push everything over the edge. Now, you can call it drought or call it climate change or whatever you want. But, you know, the biggest problem with the Colorado River is that when they divvied it up and decided to drain it bone stinking dry, there were no environmental laws at that time back in the early 1900s. And so, you know, you could drain a river bone dry and there's nothing anybody could do about it, or maybe there may not even be people who cared back then too. But life's changed, and, you know, we're kind of in a new West as opposed to the old West here in the state of Colorado, maybe somewhat in Arizona, Utah, Wyoming, New Mexico. And in the new West, we like to protect and restore the environment, not extract everything out of it. And so, but unfortunately, the water system and the water managers are still, you know, almost completely stuck in the old West, where their motivation is to extract all the water out of every river as much as they possibly can, you know, before it reaches the state line. They try to get every drop that they're theoretically legally allowed to get. And so, you know, the water management system and the water managers are created and designed to drain the river bone stinking dry, and that's of course the biggest threat, and they're still doing it, and they're trying to do it even more at the same time where the river and the system is, you know, collapsing. There's up to 20 new proposals for dams and diversions in the upper basin in Colorado, Wyoming, and Utah. Some of them are big, like the Lake Powell pipeline, and there's another one in Wyoming that's big. Some of them are smaller, but you know, it's still the water managers are walking around with a hammer, and every problem is a nail, and so they just bang on it and try to build a dam and a diversion.
Recently, some reservoirs were emptied to sort of refill Lake Powell. Your group put out a press release saying that it was really just a Band-Aid. Is that what has sort of characterized reaction to the crisis on the Colorado River in recent decades?
Yeah, that's certainly our opinion. And just for clarification, the reservoirs weren't, they water was let out of the three reservoirs. They weren't empty. But, you know, the plan by the federal government, if the drought doesn't turn around, is to empty those reservoirs. And, you know, by doing that, they don't make new water. They don't conserve any water. They just change where the water's at. And they're still not facing the facts that, in our opinion, climate science is real, and all the climate scientists predict that you know, this kind of ongoing extensive drought is what we're more likely to see in the future, or worse. And so, you know, they built a system based on what they thought it was in 1922 when they divided up the water. Well, the system, you know, the hydrological system and the climate system appears to be dramatically different now. But the water managers, again, and the states and the federal government is still 100% stuck where they were in 1922, which is drain the river bone dry, no matter what, every single year.
There are a series of threats to the river from, as you mentioned, climate change, overuse, these dams and diversions, invasive species, mineral resources along the river that make it dangerous to collect them nearby. Talk about how your group attempts to address these issues. What's your strategy? Is it just get information out, or do you try to do something active?
Yeah, we do a few different things. And our primary program is around fighting new dams and diversions, proposed new ones. And then we have a campaign against Glen Canyon Dam and Lake Powell. And we recently started the Rights of Nature program, which is a little bit different. But we communicate with the media, we communicate with the public, and we litigate. We absolutely go to court to sue and try to stop bad projects from happening. So we are a activist group. You know, we're not just a friendly watershed, you know, protection group. We're very active and we're very aggressive. And we think that's what the situation calls for, if there's any hope to actually not just protect the river, but any hope of restoring it.
My guest today is Gary Walkner, Executive Director and co-founder of the group Save the Colorado. I'm Lou Gum. This is Arizona Edition on KAWC.
Can you tell me a little bit more about this rights of nature concept?
Yeah, I mean, it's our opinion, and it's not, you know, an odd opinion, that the environmental laws that we're dealing with now in the United States were mostly made 50 years ago or more. And they're not particularly strong environmental laws, and they mostly regulate environmental destruction. They don't actually stop it. And so we started this program in January of this year. We're real excited about it. Had our first big success last week or a couple weeks ago, where we're working with communities around the Colorado River Basin to start enacting resolutions supporting rights of nature. So that would actually give the river and the watershed in their local community rights themselves. So the river would have rights and the watershed would have rights. And it's one way that a community can, you know, try to protect itself and its local environment and watershed. And it's a very different way of looking at protecting the environment and then just the environment in general. I mean, most of the laws, all the laws for the most part in the United States are what I would call anthropocentric, which means that they were made for people, by people, to represent people's interests. Whereas rights of nature is more ecocentric. And so that takes a much broader viewpoint of how to protect the environment so that the environment or the ecology itself has rights to exist, whether or not it serves any grand function of humanity or not. And so, you know, we're doing this in a very friendly way, though. We're not trying to necessarily pass ordinance that are strict laws. We're doing it in a soft way where we're working with local communities to pass resolutions, which are non-binding, which start a friendly conversation up and down the Colorado River Basin. And we had our first success a couple of weeks ago at the town of Nederland, Colorado, which is just west of Boulder in the mountains, passed a rights of nature resolution. So and we're working with, you know, 9 or 10 other communities, either with local people in the communities or activist groups to try to start the conversation in different communities, too.
It seems one of the challenges in our region and along the river is Colorado and Arizona both, and Nevada, too. We're all growing so fast. These are fast-growing states, lots of new residents coming in. There's been a movement in Arizona to have communities be conscious of water use before they develop. Is that a movement that's also happening in Colorado?
Yeah, in the state of Colorado, you're seeing a lot of conversations around increasing water conservation. I will, however, say that, you know, population growth is, of course, one of the biggest threats. I mean, at the same time where the actual supply of water is going down because of the drought and climate change, the number of people who want and demand water is going up. And so something's got to give. We don't get involved in population growth issues, but we think they're an important part of the conversation. And we, you know, try to encourage at least the discussion to happen.
I grew up in Tucson, and in the late 70s and early 80s, there were programs in town. There were Beat the Peak programs. You couldn't water on certain days, certain rules about what kinds of yards you could have. It seems that those rules have gone by the wayside in favor of more, I guess, larger, more planned conservation projects. But to me, it feels like the personal responsibility has been taken out of it. Is that something that you've noticed in your work?
Well, I would say that what's going on in Nevada and Arizona and Southern California, for example, in urban water system is way ahead of the rest of the basin. I mean, you know, you guys have what's called cash for grass programs down there, where you pay people to take out their grass and replace it with a xeriscape lawn. In the state of Colorado, there are very few cash for grass programs. I mean, Tucson, I think, and you know, your water use is around 100 gallons per person per day. In a lot of places in Colorado, it's 150 or 200. And it's way hotter and way drier in Tucson. And so, and Phoenix, of course, even hotter and drier yet. And so, you know, unfortunately, water agencies don't do the right thing until they're forced to. And so, you know, they'll drain the river until there's nothing left. And then guess what? We got to start recycling water. We got to start cash for grass programs. We have to start all these other programs. What my organization tried to do is, you know, is to try to force them to do the right thing first rather than further drain the river. You know, the program's actually, you know, for all of its bad press, Las Vegas and the Southern Nevada Water District actually has some of the best water conservation and water recycling and reuse programs in the entire United States by far. And so, you know, it's generally pointed to as being a dark, evil place, but they do good work with water conservation there, you know, generally twice as good as anything that goes on in the state of Colorado. And so it depends on where you're at. Every city's different. Every city's water rights are different. It can be so crazy, though, that, you know, some cities don't want to conserve water. They want to use everything they possibly can so that they can continue to get it and continue to use it. And so you run into complicated, you know, legal situations where some cities don't even try to conserve water because they don't want to, whereas some cities, they have no choice, so they're very aggressive at water conservation.
I have a chance to talk to a lot of people who work on the Colorado River and on several levels, and you know, the predictions are dire if something isn't done, if major policy shifts don't happen. But one of the things I noticed about your website, and one of the reasons I wanted to talk to you, was because if people go to your website, it's a really fun website. There's a, you know, kind of a funny picture at the front to kind of introduce you to what's going on, and you mention a few times in the website that it's about fun. How do you keep the fun in something so dire and concerning?
Well, we try to have fun. We try to, you know, keep some humor in it all. The picture on the website, SaveTheColorado.org, is of naked people. And so I'll just stick that in there. You can keep it in there if you want. Part of it, just to be frank, is kind of my personality too. I'm not a young person, but doing this a long time. And people don't often last in this work a long time. They tend to get burnt out and depressed. And I'm just kind of an upbeat person. I like to have fun. I like to keep it lively and moving. And so that's how we run the organization and how we try to approach things.
Are you hopeful?
that's a good question. I am not optimistic, let me put it that way, that the future is going to be similar to the past. I think climate science, population growth, etc., are going to cause the future to be consequentially different. And so, well, our organization tries to like push the consequential difference now. Let's just like push it out there. What needs to happen? We need dramatic water conservation. We need to tear down Glen Canyon Dam. We need to stop building new dams and diversions. And the last thing that needs to happen, that we're not involved with, we've been dabbled in a little bit, is the river needs to reach the sea again. And right now, the river hardly ever reaches the sea because it's drained 100% bone dry before it gets to the Sea of Cortez. And so I wouldn't say I'm particularly optimistic. I generally, stay hopeful, though, and just upbeat about the work because I enjoy the work. It's my passion. You know, I mostly created this myself. And so, to get up every morning and do work that you love and that you created is about as good as it gets. that's success. And so I'm happy to be doing work I love. And it's really that simple.
Gary Wachner, Executive Director and Co-Founder of Save the Colorado. It's really nice to talk to you and get a perspective from a different section of the river and communities impacted by it.
And I appreciate you reaching out.
You can find out more information about Save the Colorado on their website, savethecolorado.org. Arizona Edition is a production of KAWC, Colorado River Public Media. Questions or comments about the program are welcome. Send them to news@kawc.org. Past programs and links to all KAWC programming can be found online at kawc.org. I'm Lou Gumm. This is Arizona Edition on KAWC. Thanks for listening.